Every time we walk into this holy place, we walk past that baptismal font. Maybe some of you have little versions of that in your home, where throughout the day or different times you might dip your fingers in there and you sign yourself like we do so many times as Catholic Christians. When we do that, we're saying something about who God is. We name God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We make the sign of the cross the instrument of our salvation. We're also saying something about who we are. We're making a statement about our identity. We're reminding ourselves of what happened to us when we were immersed in the waters of baptism and when the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's fire, changed us. It has to do with who we are. One of the most important questions in this life is the question of identity. Who are you? Who are you? There's, what, about 7 billion people in the world? That's a lot of people. But who are you? I remember in one of my sociology classes in college, our professor day one had us take out paper, and she said, write down 20 things about yourself, your identity. And we all scribbled down as fast as we could. And then she had us share some of them, and as we went through them, you know, a lot of things were about, I do this, I like this, et cetera, et cetera. And they weren't really essential to who we were. Only a few things got to kind of the core of who we were. A lot of things we wrote were really kind of secondary. Not about my identity, but just kind of things that happened to me. Who are you? Who are we? We can answer that question in a lot of ways, and many people answer it in all kinds of ways. We can define ourselves. We can believe we know our identity by how other people define us, by what other people say to us in school, at work. We can define ourselves by something that maybe a parent said to us growing up, for better or for worse, kind of something lodged in our memory banks. We can define ourselves, our identity, by how much money we make, or our position or status, our level of productivity. People define themselves by their successes and failures. Some people define themselves by how many likes or shares they get on Facebook, or how many times your Instagram or your Snapchat is looked at or responded to. Some people define themselves by their body. Is my body the way I want it? Is it the way it should be? It can be a very powerful statement that we can define ourselves by. We can also try and kind of build an identity for ourselves. We can try and make an identity to become the person we think we should be. I remember many years ago I was on a retreat, silent retreat, for quite a while. And during that retreat, in the beginning, I would see around the campus I was at all these beautiful swallows, fork-tailed swallows, those blue iridescent birds. They dart around, they hardly ever land. They build little nests in like farmhouses a lot. And they're really gorgeous, especially when their tail fans out and you see this pattern inside of their forked tail. It's like a piece of art. It's almost like the stained glass windows we have in the corner here. And I remember in that retreat telling God, I said, Lord, these birds are awesome. I'd love to just see one up close. But they're always a bit too fast and they wouldn't really land. So I made that little prayer. And, you know, creation does speak to me a lot. My patron saint for confirmation was Francis of Assisi, and so the Lord just loves to use different things in the world, like birds a lot, and creation, to reveal himself to me. So at the end of this retreat, the Lord was doing a lot of things in my heart. But at the end of this retreat, last day, I saw these swallows flying up towards the top of this building. And I went inside of it, up to the top floor, and went inside this room where, looking through tinted glass, this really tall kind of skyscraper, these swallows were flying right by the windows, rapid speed. They were picking the bugs off of the warm glass, eating them, but still really couldn't really see them too well. But outside the window, right in front of me, 16 inches away, is this little bird who's not flying. And I could look at it like this far away because it was tinted glass. And I'm looking at this bird, the swallow, but it doesn't look too happy. It's not flying around. I'm looking right at it, but it looks kind of sad. It's not moving. Its feathers are all kind of damp and ruffled. Doesn't have much color. And it looks like it was really sick, like about to die. And this is the bird I'm looking at, the sick, ugly bird. And I'm like, Lord, is this all you got for me? You know? And even more, I realized later on what God was doing is I looked at this bird for quite a while, and I began to get really sad. And what was happening is in that bird, I was seeing a little bit of how I was living what I thought was my identity. Later on, the Lord was telling me, you were sad because you saw in that bird sickness and weakness, not flying, close to death, because I was living an identity out of what I didn't have. I'm weak in this area. I wish I had this. I can't fly here. And I just felt kind of like, that's just the hand I was dealt. Just got to deal with that. And that melancholy was speaking to my soul somehow as I'm looking at this little bird 16 inches outside the glass. Well, all of a sudden, one of those swallows flying around comes zipping down and lands right in front of that bird. And its mouth is a big dragonfly or a cricket or something, and it leans over and feeds it to that little bird who gobbles it up and opens its mouth and starts flapping around, chirping for more. And the bird flies away, and then that was mama bird, and papa bird comes in and gives the bird another little bug to eat. And they kept on doing this for like 20 minutes as I'm just mesmerized, and I realized right away that, well, this bird isn't sick. It's not dying. It's growing. It's being nourished. It had just been hatched, and you know, feathers are kind of ruffled because it's not ready to fly yet. It needs a lot of help from mother and father bird to grow. And the Lord gave great peace to my heart in that moment. And later on, I've reflected on this for years. The Lord spoke to me. The Father said to me, don't you see, Mark, your identity isn't in your weaknesses and how you look at yourself. I give you your life. I am nourishing you. I'm feeding you. Yes, you've got places to grow. Yes, you've got places you need to spread your wings, but by my grace, I can make you soar. So don't look to yourself to figure out who you are. Turn to me. I'm your Father. I'm your God. And that stuck with me forever, and I'm sure it will till the day I die. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan to begin his mission, the heavens open and the Father speaks and says to Jesus, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Jesus, his entire life, he lived his identity upon his relationship with God, the Father, we call it Abba. And he never lived from any other place. He didn't make his identity who the Pharisees thought he was, who the chief priests thought he was, not even the apostles or the crowds. He never let them tell them who he was, though he loved them. He let his life be determined by the love of God for him as the Son of God. This mystery is meant for all of us to put ourselves into today. Because by our baptism, we have been washed, cleansed, loved by God, and changed to become adopted children. You are meant to hear today these words spoken to you. You and I are meant to put ourselves in the place of Jesus and to hear the Father say, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I am well pleased in you. I delight in you. I've made you for a great purpose, and I will nourish you, I will shelter you, I will take care of you. Turn to me to know who you are, because I have made you beautiful. Our identity does not come from our sins or failings or weaknesses. It doesn't, even from in life, we've experienced all kinds of trauma, things that may have hurt you very deeply. Even our identity does not come from that, but from the redemption of that, from God's love for you and changing you by his mercy. That's who we are. That's who we live from. And if God is for us to call us children, who can be against us? What can come against us that we cannot live and soar with through God's mercy? So today, as we come before the altar, as we say our Father together, we remember our baptism and how God has delighted in us and loved us, called us to a holy calling. We first of all remember that today. We claim that baptismal identity, that our relationship with God determines everything else. And secondly, we live that by blessing others. That whenever someone you meet shortchanges themselves, doesn't realize the great beauty and gift within them by their baptism, you remind them of that. You call it out. You remind them how blessed they are by God, how loved they are by God, the good you see in them. And if they're not baptized or they don't know the Lord Jesus in their life, you witness. You talk about how much God loves them, how much Christ came for them, knows them personally, desires to bring them into the divine family. Encouragement and support and words of blessing and affirmation are so important. It's how Jesus loves others into salvation through you and I. So in these few moments of silence before we recite the creed, let's all put ourselves at the River Jordan in our minds and our hearts. Let us just go there in prayer. And let us feel the waters washing over us. Let us feel the Holy Spirit descending upon us. And ask the Lord to give those words to you once again, to speak those words of love over you. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And with you, I am well pleased.